We join Mark Warden now in Cajun Country in Louisiana.
You can go anywhere here in Cajun Country, and where they have these Cajuns, if you're hungry, you're not going to leave with an empty stomach. If you're hungry when you get there, you're going to leave with a full stomach. And if you have no place to sleep, you're not going to sleep outside. And that's how come a lot of people from out of state, they come from these big cities and all, and some of them don't even know their first neighbor. And over here, we know each other because we need each other to survive.
To the outside world, the Cajun country of Louisiana is one of those places where you need to be careful. With its eerie swampland and insular inhabitants who don't even speak English, anything might happen should you get lost. This image has been played up by such films as Southern Comfort, and to a lesser extent Down by Law. As is often the case, the movies are more a reflection of American prejudice than of reality. The Cajuns are one of two Francophone communities in the former French state of Louisiana. The other consists of the Creoles, who are black. Cajuns, who are white, came to Nova Scotia from France in the 17th century. The area they settled was known as Acadia. When the British began to have designs on it in the 18th century, these French Catholics, or Acadians, were considered a security menace, and thus they were expelled. Not only that, the families were deliberately divided up. The men were put on one boat, the women and children on another. This diaspora is referred to as Le Grand Derangement. The exiles sailed along the coast of North America looking for sanctuary, and some of them even returned to France. They were, however, to find a welcome in Louisiana, which was then a Spanish and later French colony. Some 200 years after the event, it is hardly surprising that the Acadians, or Cajuns, still harbor a grudge towards the British.
Well, when I was a little boy, I remember, I'm only 39 years old, I remember my parents and my grandparents talking, and my uncles and aunts, relatives that, or friends that came over. They would call anybody who spoke English an American, which is American. And they would still had the saying, the fit putain d'anglais, the damn English. And they still were bitter. Now, this generation here is not, but my parents and grandparents were still bitter. From the stories handed down in their family of what happened in Nova Scotia, you know. But it doesn't matter to me anymore. It happened, and they can't kill us. They can't get rid of us. We're still there.
It would also appear that the Americans have taken a long time to accept the Cajuns. Curtis Allman found this when he started working in 1950.
I was about 16 and a half years old when I went on my first job away from the basin here. I was born and raised here, practically. And we would go to out of state, like Texas and Mississippi, wherever, just out of state. And they would be rough on us. They didn't like us Cajuns. A lot of jobs that they wouldn't want us to speak Cajun. And at night when we'd knock off, we'd get together and rattle it. And we were made fun of. They would call us coonasses in those days.
The arrival of the oil industry in Louisiana brought great changes to the Cajun way of life. It offered jobs, money, and contact with the rest of the world. It was also at about this time, the 1920s, that English school became compulsory for Cajun children. When Curtis Allman began elementary school in the 1930s, he found the teachers were pretty strict.
They would creep up on us in the schoolyard when at recess time, and if they would catch us speaking French, between each other, we'd get punished. We'd catch some whipping. When they were teaching us our number, it's kind of funny now, but I mean, it wasn't funny in those days. She said, well, today, she said, I'm going to teach y'all your number. And then she said, y'all going to say as I say. So she said, say one. We said, say one. We didn't really know what we were saying, but at least we were trying. And I can remember she shook her head and she mumbled something. I don't remember what it was. And then she said, say two. And when she said, say two, we got up from our chairs. Because say two in French, that's it, it's finished.
The negative perception of Cajuns has undergone radical changes since the 1960s. This newfound pride is thought to be an offshoot of the civil rights movement. Whatever the cause, that which was once considered primitive is now deemed trendy. The language has been given support from CODAFIL, the Council for the Development of French in Louisiana, which was founded in 1968. The cuisine, which includes such delights as blackened redfish and jambalaya, has gained international recognition, thanks to the success of Cajun gourmets like Paul Prudhomme. Cajun music, which was previously dismissed as chanka-chank, has also been elevated to cult status. Much of the impetus for the Cajun folk revival has come from the University of Southwestern Louisiana campus in Lafayette. I asked faculty member David Barry about the role of music in Cajun culture.
I would say that it's probably the most important element of the culture. And I would say that for many reasons. The first being that it is the most visible element of the culture that reaches both French speakers and non-French speakers. It has gained a tremendous amount of both national and international success and has raised the identity of this group of people to a level far beyond their own expectations. And I think this was done largely because of the music. I think it's also important because it gives a point of cultural identity that is easily accessible to all generations and all age levels in the area. It is also a very important means of preserving the language because Cajun music is sung in French. And there may be some young singers and young musicians, I know of some, that don't speak French, but they know the songs in French and they sing the songs in French.
The music and the food both celebrate the Cajun love of life.
It's nice to be among people who really do enjoy food and drink and the better things, who don't take themselves really very seriously, who know how to enjoy themselves. I think to that extent, this notion of laissez les bons temps rouler is based in a kind of reality. There are endearing qualities to this region. And most people who come here do not find it very hard to discover. They find rather quickly that this is an interesting area, an area that would command a lot of attention and affection. You may find this to be so yourself, given time enough in the area.
It could well be the fact that the Cajuns have had to fight hard in order to survive, which explains why they enjoy life so much. Sadly, their lifestyle appears to be under threat once more. In spite of the cultural revival, the younger generation don't speak French with the same facility as their parents. The land itself, which is now officially known as Acadiana, is also at risk. The oil industry, which was perhaps responsible for dragging the Cajun community into the 20th century, has also wrought considerable ecological damage to the area. Curtis Ullman explains.
The Chaffalaya Basin is where I was born. And that's what I like about it. I'm able to look at it in the morning. Part of it is a big area. It's 120,000 acres. It's 20 miles wide and 150 miles in length. But in the part that I was raised in, I'm glad to be able to look at the sun go down, set at night, and when it comes up in the morning. The thing is, I don't like to see is the way it's changing. It's like a person with a slow-eating cancer. You can see a little bit of it go down every day.
Whatever does happen to the Cajun country, one can only hope that its inhabitants will not lose those qualities that set them apart.
They have a sense of honesty.
And if they tell you something, you don't have to sign a paper or anything. Their word is their word. Which most country people anywhere, in the hills, anywhere where it's in the country, not in the city, people are still like that today. We don't like changes too much. We like to keep things the same way it is. We like it like that. Speak up. Despite